A shooting in Australia's Bondi Beach has been declared a terrorist attack on the Jewish community. The mass shooting claimed 12 lives, including that of one of the shooters. A celebration was being held at a popular spot in Sydney to commemorate the first day of the Jewish festival of Hanukkah. One of the two gunmen was shot dead by police, while the other is in custody and in serious condition. Police are investigating if there is a third offender. Some 20 people are injured, including two police officers. They've also found an improvised explosive device in a car linked to the deceased shooter. Katie Silver is tracking this story for CNA from Sydney.
We heard from the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, describing it as devastating, describing it as a terrorist attack, saying it was targeted and that it was evil anti-Semitism. Now, we understand as well from the most recent press conference that about 1,000 people were at this event. We understand it's called Hanukkah by the Sea. It was held in Bondi Beach on Campbell Parade, a very busy venue, a lot of people there, tourists, locals, many people are going to restaurants and enjoying the beach, engaging in exercise. Now, police say that they responded quickly. Many eyewitnesses say they were actually thought there was quite slow responses from the police. We're going to see as well, I guess, this more information on that front will unfold. But we also understand that they have been detonating what were suspected bombs and that the area has been cordoned off and people have been advised to stay away. That is the latest, but we are expecting more news from police in the coming hours.
And for more, we're joined by Tony Loughran, director and founder at Zero Risk, speaking to us from Sydney. Tony, thank you for joining us. Now, from a security analysis perspective, were there any early warning signs that authorities or the public in Australia could have noticed prior to the shooting?
No, it's quite interesting, really, because I've been listening to the Prime Minister's briefing tonight and also the head of ASIO. And what they had to say, really, was that the two gunmen that they had, out of the two gunmen, there was only one that was known, and there wasn't anything that raised an alarm. So it would appear that at least two of them were clean skins that were coming through the system and being able to actually carry out this attack with anyone actually formally looking at just exactly where they could do it.
Now, we're seeing heightened emotions linked to the Gaza war, not just in Australia, but around the world. How concerned should Asia-Pacific countries be about similar spillover tensions?
I think in the current kind of climate at the moment is that they have every right to be worried about the spillover, because at the moment now that what we're looking at is the continual kind of bombardment from Israel into Gaza, the issues to do with the actual West Bank as well in reclaimed land. So Asian countries with predominantly Muslim kind of communities, and that you know, that there's fear, certainly in Australia as well, is that that there'll be another kind of a wave of a potential backlash or violence as well. So we do have that particular concern to be very, very fearful of.
Now, witnesses at Bondi Beach describe 40 to 50 shots fired over about 10 minutes. How would you assess the speed and effectiveness of the police response in Sydney?
Now, let me just actually rewind a little bit here so we can look at the threat. The weapon that was actually, or the weapons that were used anyway, were kind of very, very strange to Australia, because there's a big, huge crackdown and clampdown on semi-automatic weapons. And so we have now got that huge potential of single-shot, high-velocity ballistic weapons anyway. At the moment now, the police was kind of semi-criticised about not responding. But I believe they did, and I think that the paramedics actually came through in an abundance, as did the actual kind of Bondi search rescue as well, life-saving rescue, I should say, who started to actually kind of treat people for gunshot wounds, because they were actually, they had compression dressings and so on and so forth. The ambulance drivers stepped away and started becoming paramedics. The police actually stepped into the vehicles to drive these casualties to the hospitals. But the biggest concern really was the overwhelming of some of the hospitals anyway, because of the actual, just the stretching of medical resources. So they were extremely responsive to the scene, and they did a very, very good job.
Now, there's more than one suspect in this shooting, so it's not one of those lone wolf attacks. Do you suspect more organized support, and how would authorities go about investigating that?
Well, the interesting thing there really is that at the moment now, they were quick to respond to the actual the addresses of the individuals who were taken down. And what's happened is that, and they were quite right in doing that, with the invocation of Schedule 5 of the Terrorism Act, where they could actually kind of search and stop and search individuals and actually search properties very quickly. And what they have done is they found a lot of information that has linked them to this group. And what you're going to see as well is that a lot more kind of Australia-wide kind of raids going on and looking for connectivities with other groups to see whether the support came from there for the weapons and also for the IEDs as well.
Bondi Beach is a popular attraction, much like Marina Bay in Singapore. How should countries in our region rethink security for popular destinations without creating an atmosphere of fear?
It's a very good question, actually, and because Australia is actually renowned for being quite relaxed and, you know, the land of kind of, you know, the beautiful oceans and beaches and so on and so forth. And so what we need to do really is we need to look at the actual events that are being planned in, you know, around the globe and that. And if they have a particular kind of religious kind of connotation to them or a potential threat, is that as did the Jewish community do, is they have their own security and their own paramedics as well with some of these events. It was needed today, sadly, but at the end of the day, that would be actually looked at in a wider context. And I think that that's really, really important to have a look at. Also, on top of that, I think it's about sharing of intelligence. So at the moment now, you know, we need to start to step up the information really that's coming into Australia or going out of Australia so we can get a more of a connected feel about the actual sharing of vital intelligence that will actually put us in good stead to stop these particular attacks from happening again.
Now, this is the festive season, and there are going to be lots of public gatherings. What should everyday people in Singapore and the region do right now to stay safe in crowds?
The big thing, really, to be honest with you, is looking at the way crowds move and the individuals in the crowd. So if we got backpacks, you know, people with heavy backpacks, people with wearing coats or wearing something at the end of the day that really sticks out, that it's something that's hiding or secreting something. You know, from my point of view, it's best to let people just go along their particular daily routine. But at the same time, just, you know, a little bit of a watchful vigilance anyway, with regards to crowded areas, bins where you've actually got rubbish that could be left behind, because I've got no doubt at all that the IEDs that were actually kind of found potentially could have found their way into secreted areas such as bins or lampposts or areas, you know, near street junctions in drains and so on and so forth. So it's just been that much more vigilant and that much more kind of, you know, aware of the surrounding and the scene.
Well, many thanks for those useful tips. Tony Loughran there, director and founder at Zero Risk. Thank you so much.